This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 236.
Today, Cheyenne says, I'm still behind on recent feedback episodes, but I've finished your series on Hadrian's Flight, and all of your talk of Heinlein's formula got me thinking. Are there similar tried-and-true formulas for other genres slash types of stories? I've recently discovered I will be forced to write a damn good mystery in order to make a burst of inspiration work properly, and I can use all the help there is. Mystery is completely foreign to me. It's a murder mystery first and foremost, as part of a larger series telling the same ongoing story. This particular installment will simply be driven by said mystery. Honestly, your formulas book will probably publish in perfect time for this project. Well, Cheyenne, I hope so, and I'll definitely keep you posted on it. I have no idea when exactly I'm going to get it out, but I'm looking forward to publishing it. It'll be sometime this year. Essentially, a member of the main cast is found murdered. In addition to the general buildup of piecing together the evidence needed to identify the killer, secrets hidden in the minds of the rest of the cast will also come shockingly to light along the way. The main cast is 7 characters strong, and they are a tightly knit, bonded group, so I will have mountains of tension slash betrayal slash relationship building to use. I will also be making use of flashbacks, everyone narrates in first person, unless I change my mind, and I'm toying with unreliable narration. In addition to any advice you surely have, can you point me to any wonderful works of fiction that can give me a taste of the craft? Yes, Cheyenne, I can. The sort of story you're talking about writing is a cozy. I have only written 2 cozies, and they're not quite genre compliant, but they do cover some of the things you're talking about, so in the interest of pimping my own work, let me advise you to check out my book Down from 10, and my book, A Ghostly Christmas Present. The mother of all cozy mysteries is Agatha Christie. She was the master. She helped solidify the formula. She is responsible for so much of the cozy mysteries that go on. So much of the stuff that makes it over into the U.S. from the BBC are cozy mysteries, even if they're not quite playing to type. The Inspector Barnaby Mysteries, Midsummer Murders they're called, the Jonathan Creek television series, again, anything by Agatha Christie, Poirot, Miss Marple, and Then There Were None, all of these are cozies. Cozy is actually the mother genre for the slasher, but that's a whole other thing. Let me walk you through what the general landscape of mystery fiction is, because you'll actually want to have a command of this, though since you're talking about stuff that is in the mind of people, you're going to be combining this obviously with paranormal. You still want to know, particularly if you're going to market this as a mystery, you want to know what expectations your readers have, because mystery readers are as bad as romance readers in terms of their genre expectations. They're exceedingly exact. So, the biggest thing to keep in mind with mysteries is that they are fundamentally a conservative genre. For conservative, read, having social and moral order is a central concern. It's not political conservatism, it's a sort of personality orientation. The reason mysteries appeal is that they're mythic reenactments of the human desire for order. So they all, every subgenre of mystery, they all follow the same pattern. Step 1. Normal life is established. Step 2. Something shatters normal life, usually a murder. Step 3. The hero struggles to bring life back to normal so they can restore the safety and moral order of the universe, on whatever scale they're working on. Step 4. In most cases, the hero succeeds. In the case of noir, they fail. And the reader has the experience of understanding something important about justice, human nature, sin, desire, punishment, grace, whatever. Now, the hero succeeding does not necessarily mean they solve the puzzle. In some subgenres, that's obligatory. In others, it's not. What's essential is that a resolution is reached regarding the upset moral order of the universe. So either that moral order settles out to a new normal that's different than before, or the balance of the force gets restored, so to speak, or you learn that there is no justice, really, and the bad guy gets away with it. Maybe you don't even solve the mystery, but hey, Jake, it's Chinatown, which is a reference to the movie Chinatown, which is an excellent example of the bad guy getting away with it and no one caring about the solution to the mystery. Great movie, by the way, well worth watching. All mystery and crime fiction fits in this broad formula. Everything else is a variation on the theme. So with all that in mind, even though I already talked a little about cozy, I'm going to give you the formal definitions of the major types of stories and with some examples of each one. Let's start with cozy, since that's where you're working. The defining elements of a cozy are a remote location or an isolated situation, could just be socially isolated, a limited cast of characters or range of suspects, and they're all on screen early on. There's undisclosed connections between those characters, and these undisclosed connections eventually provide the solution. Everybody involved has an apparent motive and or opportunity. Usually an amateur sleuth solves the puzzle. This has gotten blurred in recent years as cozy and police procedural have gotten combined a lot. But most of the time, it's an amateur sleuth, either a private detective or a neighborhood busybody or a retired cop or someone who shouldn't be there really poking around and screwing up the police's investigation. Cozies usually have a genteel tone. Sex and violence usually happen off-screen, except in slashers. Slasher is a subspecies of cozy, but it tends to be marketed as horror instead of as mystery. Structurally, though, they're identical. And the final defining characteristic is that the investigation concentrates on sorting out contradictions between the stories of the suspects and witnesses. They all have a motivation to lie, even if it's not an apparent one. The stories contradict each other. They provide red herrings when they coincide at unexpected places. Deciding who's lying and about what and why is the central concern of the cozy investigator. Now, tweaking these different elements can give you a few different permutations. For example, if you add a ticking clock, such as people are being killed by a killer intent on revenge, as Agatha Christie did in And Then They Were None, and then you ignore the thing about the genteel tone, you get a slasher story like the Scream films or Halloween, or Friday the 13th, the first one, was a great example of this. I said it was a subspecies. That's exactly how you get to that subspecies. This is kind of what I did in Down from 10, though I didn't go full slasher. I actually tweaked a few other elements in that one. On the other hand, you could tweak it so that your investigator is a professional cop and focus on restructuring the crime and the investigation. This gives you a police procedural, which is another dominant form of mystery. It's the second most popular form of mystery next to a cozy. All the NCIS shows, these are police procedurals. Anything where you got a mystery of the week, the old Hawaii Five-O's were police procedurals. The new ones are too, evidently. I just haven't watched very much of them. Police procedurals, massively popular, and those focus on the police investigation as it unfolds and less on the depth of characterization among the suspects. If you take that same basic formula and you set it in the context of a court case, where the majority of the discovery and the action takes place in a courtroom or a law office, you get a courtroom drama or a legal thriller. This is Perry Mason and Matlock territory. A Few Good Men is this kind of story. Most of John Grisham's early work, like The Firm and A Time to Kill, those are all courtroom dramas and legal thrillers. On the other hand, if you've got an investigator that's a PI, private investigator, and the story doesn't otherwise conform to several points of the cozy formula, in other words, if you've got a PI in a cozy formula, you can still have a cozy, you just have a PI there. But if you pull enough pieces of the cozy formula out and you concentrate on your detective, then you have what's called detective fiction. If the detective fiction has a snide or ironic narrative voice, an ultra-vivid descriptive style and a gritty tone with morally ambiguous solutions, you're into hard-boiled territory. And if it's not entirely hopeless, you're into soft-boiled territory. Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep and The Little Sister are great examples of this. My Clark Lantham mystery series, they're medium hard-boiled. They follow the hard-boiled genre conventions, but there's occasionally a happy ending, which makes them not quite hard-boiled. other great detective fiction that isn't in the U.S. hard-boiled tradition are things like the Sherlock Holmes mysteries by Arthur Conan Doyle, the Lord Peter Wimsey mysteries by Dorothy Sayers, Jesse Stone and Spencer mysteries by Robert B. Parker, Dashiell Hammett, who did The Maltese Falcon, and he had a series of short stories with a character called the Continental Op. There's a whole bunch of these. This is the kind of stuff you think about when you think of the old film noir. What you're actually thinking about is detective fiction. It's not actually noir. However, you get to noir if the tone of your hard-boiled or police procedural is ultra bleak. Like, there's no hope. Chinatown is wonderful noir. You get to the end of it, the bad guy gets away after murdering one of the good guys in front of the cops. It's absolutely hopeless and horrible and bleak and gloriously so. It's called noir because noir is French for black, and it refers to moral and emotional hopelessness. So basically, you've got a range from soft-boiled, where you've got detective fiction with a light feel and happy endings, to hard-boiled, where you've got, this is like Michael Connelly stuff, where you've got detective fiction with a really gritty style and morally ambiguous endings, some good stuff, some bad stuff. And then you've got noir, where everything is bleak, black, and suicide-inducing, and yet there's a beauty in how it's executed. Those are all your basic mystery types. Now, you can also have crime stories, which can include mysteries, but they focus on the ramifications of a crime rather than necessarily on solving a mystery. Anything by James Ellroy is a crime story. It's particularly noir procedural crime fiction, all of his L.A. Quartet. Really, really fantastic, brutal stuff. Quentin Tarantino's films are also all crime fiction. Even Kill Bill is crime fiction. But only one of them is actually a mystery, and that's The Hateful Eight. Everything else is a different subgenre or other of crime fiction. But if you're looking at mysteries and you like Quentin Tarantino, look at The Hateful Eight. The Hateful Eight is basically a period cozy that doesn't follow the rules of gentility. Great film. A lot of blood, but great film. Anyway, that's your whirlwind tour through the mystery genre. I really hope it helps, and I hope you have a fantastic time learning this area of storytelling. I love it. I've done eight in my Clark Lantham mystery series already. I've done down from 10. I love mystery structure and all the different things you can do in the mystery genre, and I'm still exploring them. Each of my Clark Lantham books is actually a different subgenre of mystery combined with a hard-boiled voice and style. And I'm still learning more and exploring. It's so much fun. Anyway, I'll let you go so you can get on with your day, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.